Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So there's this guy you don't know named Larry Pfeiffer. He's only got a few. I think I have more people following me on Twitter than he does, which is tragic. He's the former senior director of the White House Situation Room under Obama. He was the former chief of staff to the CIA under President Bush. And yesterday he put out a really interesting tweet. The thread ran, I think, 9 posts, and it started this way. As senior director of the White House Situation Room, I managed President of the United States' head of state calls. So what light might I shed on the Trump-promised phone transcript? First of all, unless this administration has changed procedures in place for many years, there are no White House tapes of this phone call. Later, he says, could there be recordings made by the U.S. intelligence community? And he says, no. Law, regulation, and practice forbids such collection of USG officials. Besides, there's no foreign intelligence value in doing so, as the United States official himself would be aware of the call's contents. Larry, welcome to WGN Radio in Chicago. Thank you for making that post, and thank you for joining us today. How are you?
Great. Thank you very much for inviting me on the show. I've got a daughter and son-in-law who live in your great city. Daughter works at the Museum of Contemporary Art, and son-in-law works at FEMA, so always happy to contribute to the great city of Chicago.
Nice of you to say. I was at MCA not that long ago. That's a lovely place. What a good job for her, huh?
She loves it. Wonderful place.
You get to our city very often, do you?
We get up there. We try to get up there a couple times a year to visit them, but, you know, don't want to be too much of the hovering parents, you know?
Yeah, right. They moved to Chicago for a reason, Dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what a fascinating position you have. And so, senior director of the White House Situation Room, tell me what that means.
So the Situation Room is the 24/7 watch operation that supports the president, the vice president, national security advisor, and it alerts them to any breaking world development of significance. So, you know, war breaks out, some important person dies, you know, a tornado wipes out some city in Oklahoma. It's the Situation Room who's making that phone call to alert them that it has happened. As part of the responsibilities, we also do phone calls of a national security nature for those officials. The Situation Room also hosts all those great meetings where the president and national security advisor and others get in rooms and make really hard decisions about the sticky problems around the world. So it was an honor to work there. It was a fantastic job. It's a nice little apolitical, nonpartisan hub. I likened it to the eye of a hurricane. You know, we were the nice calm in the center of an incredible political storm.
So if the president talks to an ally or the head of Russia or China, you are the people that are monitoring those calls?
Correct. Situation Room, on behalf of the National Security Council, we set up the calls. We connect the president. I would go to the Oval Office while he was getting briefed by the national security staff about the call. I would be making sure that the phone was getting connected appropriately. When the head of state from the foreign government was ready to get on the line, I would let the president know. He'd pick up the phone and, you know, hello, Angela, hello, Barack.
And you have headphones on.
The phone call would go from there.
You have headphones on and you're listening to this?
So in the Oval Office, I would not. I had a handset that I worked from, and then I put that handset on speakerphone so others in the room could hear the call. Down in the Situation Room, which is in the basement of the West Wing, I had analysts, duty officers, who at least three of them who would have headsets on. And they would be sitting at their computers, and they would be typing fast and furious everything they were hearing in the call. We worked hard to capture as close to a verbatim transcript of the conversation as we could. That would then be a working script that would be provided to the NSC directorate responsible for that region of the world. They would then write what everybody saw today, which is a memorandum of conversation. So they take the transcript. They correct anything we may have gotten wrong because they're more expert in some of the bits and pieces being discussed. It wasn't unusual for the NSC staffer to maybe put the conversation in a little bit more elegant prose. You probably noticed when you read it today that You know, no human being normally speaks in full sentences and paragraphs like these two presidents appeared to do. That's more of just an editing for clarity's sake. And then that staffer, depending upon the call, the sensitivity, the nature of the call, it could be what you saw today, a real verbatim memorandum, or it could just be a prose summary of what the conversation was, and sometimes just a very brief two or three sentences if the call was of little consequence.
I still don't understand. I mean, I read your tweet about why it's not recorded, but I'm not sure that that's satisfactory to some of us. I mean, for the record, why not have an actual recording of the conversation?
So when I arrived in the Situation Room in 2011 and I was briefed on this elaborate process that we had, an inefficient process, I looked and said, this is crazy. Why aren't we recording these phone calls and even record them just so we could then type up a more accurate transcript? And I was told by my predecessor, I asked the same silly question when I got here, and I was told that they stopped making phone call recordings in the White House in 1974. So I think there's just some antibodies in the White House to you know, I mean, seriously, I think it's a case where it does afford a president an opportunity to, you know, a certain level of deniability. Oh, hey, you know, those were human beings listening to the call. They got that wrong, you know. But
what is the
really
purpose of that?
But
what would the value of, listen?
Well, in reality, the reason we memorialize these calls is both for historical purposes and posterity. We also do it to protect the president, so a foreign head of state can't go out and say, hey, you know, the president called and he just promised me, you know, 400 F-35 fighters or something. You know, you'd have a transcript to fall back on. But I think most advisors around presidents these days, given what happened in the early to mid-70s, I think they feel that there's a little bit of a danger in having an actual recording,
right,
of a conversation.
Well, I don't know that the president needs to be the decider about whether or not an international call between him and a foreign leader gets recorded or not. If he doesn't want it, he doesn't have to. But maybe the Justice Department or the NSA or some branch of government overseeing our security would have their own value in recording that. I guess the president gets to be the decider on that.
It really gets wrapped up in the notion of executive privilege. Absolutely.
Yeah. So how much confidence do we have when the White House or the administration releases the transcript that this is the full transcript? This is the conversation to the best of everyone's recollection.
Can we drop in here? The president of Ukraine is being asked right now if he felt pressure from the president.
Elections of USA. No, you heard that we had, good phone call. It was normal. We spoke about many things, and I think, and you read it, that nobody pushed me. Yes.
In other words, no pressure.
President Trump.
Because you know what? There was no pressure. And you know there was, and by the way, you know there was no pressure. All you have to do is see it, what went on the call. But you know that. But you could ask the question, and I appreciate the answer. Go ahead.
Mr. President, would you like President Zelensky to do more on Joe Biden and the investigation?
No, I want him to do whatever he can. This was not his fault. He wasn't there. He's just been here recently. But whatever he can do in terms of corruption, because the corruption's massive. Now, when Biden's son walks away with millions of dollars from Ukraine and he knows nothing, and they're paying him millions of dollars, that's corruption. When Biden's son walks out of China with $1.5 billion in a fund, and the biggest funds in the world can't get money out of China, and he's there for one quick meeting, and he flies in on Air Force Two, I think that's a horrible thing. I think it's a horrible thing. But I'm going far beyond that. I know the president, and I've read a lot about Ukraine. I've read a lot about a lot of countries. He wants to stop corruption.
That's President Trump talking with the president of Ukraine. I didn't mean to jump in there, John, but just as you were addressing it, he was being asked the question by a reporter at the United Nations.
Yeah, the question was there pressure? And sitting next to him, the president of Ukraine says, I felt no pressure. I don't know. Jump in there. Let's just go back to our guests now. I presume you are still there, Larry. What did you hear there that's noteworthy?
You have a foreign head of state who is very interested in maintaining very good relations with the current administration, and he's, of course, going to say nice things about the president. So I'm not surprised by what I heard. Getting back to your question, how can we trust a a memorandum of conversation, a transcript coming out of the White House. All I can say is when I looked at it today, it looked exactly like what I used to see, what was produced when I was there. The footnote at the bottom was the same. The format was the same. The markings were the same. But more importantly, you know, the fact that there are, you know, at a minimum, a handful of Situation Room duty officers and other senior officers of the White House listening in on the call. You know, there are witnesses to what happened in that call. And if a transcript, I think, came out that was so markedly different than either what they had initially written or it was markedly different than from what actually happened, I think you've got people there who could and potentially would be witnesses to that having happened. So I think it would have been very foolish on the part of the White House to put something out other than what they did or what they appeared to have done.
Right. So the president is always aware that you all are always listening in on these conversations, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, he's aware of that. And the expectation also is that the foreign head of state likely has a similar number of people listening in on his end.
Yeah.
And there's a very good chance the foreign head of state might be recording the call because perhaps that country doesn't quite have the same issues with recording phone calls that ours does. So, and then, you know, if the phone call is done on a non-secure phone, there's always a good possibility that some foreign intelligence service might be also listening and recording the call as well.
Larry Pfeiffer is the former senior director of the White House Situation Room under President Obama. He was the chief of the staff to the CIA under President Bush. I'm out of time today, Larry, but I'm going to call you again maybe in the next week or so as this story develops. But thank you for your time this afternoon.
You bet, John.